Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful afternoon. Today, we're coming back with another movie review, so please be excited for that. Just some quick announcements. CITR and Discorder, we're still holding trainings during the summer, so if you are interested in radio production, please come ahead and sign up. It should be in the CITR website, so go ahead and sign yourself up. Once again, movie review. The weather's been pretty good. It seems like it's going to rain for a couple days, or at least it's going to get a little chillier, but summer is coming, definitely. I think summer courses or summer classes are going to be starting soon, so good luck, everybody, for those. And before we get started, let's get through some ads, PSAs, and some show promos, and we'll get right into the episode for today. So I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh, yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town, but don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney King's in Burnaby or New Westminster.
Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local indigenous business run by Tsimshian and entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca, Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad. That's all that is.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Today, we are doing a movie review with a wonderful guest. You guys probably know her. She's been on the show once. So do you want to give a quick introduction, and we'll get right into the episode?
Okay. Hi, my name is Celine. I'm now going into my third year at UBC. I'm currently a psych student who's also minoring in creative writing, which is where I met Jeff. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on. Last time, what movie did... Oh, Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
So it was a musical. And so I was actually, when I was going through movies, you know, choosing which one we should discuss, you know what? Believe it or not, Wicked was one of the movies that I'm like, should I discuss this? But I thought that the movie today is going to be a really interesting discussion. And so we are going to be discussing the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Jim Carrey stars in it with, I forgot her name. She was the main character in Titanic. I'll try and come up with that. But it is a movie full of confusion. There's a lot of the theme of time is played around quite a bit. And the format of the movie is very interesting. Definitely not kind of the format that I'm used to in terms of rom-coms. And so we'll kind of be discussing that. But first, I want to ask you your first impression of the movie. And so because when I started the movie, it seemed like it was going in a linear direction. Mm-hmm. And then it quickly changes very rapidly. And so in your experience with watching movies, and I know that you read a lot of books as well, but do you prefer a movie that is predictable in a way that it flows in terms of the format of, you know, the beginning, middle, and end, and the climax and all that? Or did you enjoy this format where it's just kind of all over the place?
Honestly, I was so confused. Usually when I read books, they are linear, but I have some where it's like one chapter will be like a chapter in the past and then one will be in the present. And then there's going to be like a correlation between the two. But this one, I was just so lost, especially since I was just like, wait, I thought they first met, because one of the scenes was like they met at the beach and that's where they first met. And I was just like, no, they met on the train. What are you talking about? So I was so confused. And I guess like I should have known that it was like his memories were kind of erased, because like I knew the consensus of the movie, but I was just so lost throughout.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be the whole point of the movies, because there's so many scenes where it just goes back and forth and I'm actually still confused. They did meet for the first time in the train?
No, at the beach.
It was at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so the train was a rerun of their relationship?
No. So when they met again on the train, it connects. So once his, because you know how like those other characters, like Mark Ruffalo and stuff,
yeah,
they like worked on him while he was sleeping.
Yeah, with Kirsten.
And
yeah.
Then when he woke up, it goes back to the scene of the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. The car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so then when he gets on the train, that's them meeting for like the second time, but their first time. Do you get that?
Yeah.
And then that's, and then they like go to the ice and like whatever, and then they come back home and then she picks up her stuff and then sees like the file.
Mm.
And then that's like where it ends.
And then it's kind of, would you say that the movie is circular in terms of the love that they experience with Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet, which is, I found out her name. Her name is Kate Winslet. Phenomenal actress. But do you think that the love and romance is circular and there's kind of, it is eternal in a sense, would you say?
Yeah, I thought it was like, I thought the concept of it was great. How like, not soulmates, I wouldn't say they're soulmates, but I just thought it was really interesting where they were so hurt that they wanted to erase their memories. But then they ended up finding each other anyways. And it made me kind of curious on if they would like go back to that toxic kind of cycle they were in before. Or because now, since they knew that they weren't like how toxic they were, that they wouldn't like go back into that cycle.
You know what I wanted to see more is the toxic relationship that, or the toxic like phase that they went through that led to the breakup, because I don't think there was a lot of scenes that showed that. There were scenes where Jim Carrey was kind of out of tune with Kate.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like the situation, he wasn't present, but I always assumed that that was kind of because he was trying to get back the memory. But I couldn't quite differentiate sometimes, because certain scenes he's constantly telling Kate Winslet like, yeah, like this is not a good time, we need to keep going, and then Kate's like completely clueless on what's going on. And so it's like this constant cycle, and you can kind of see why Jim Carrey, like he has kind of flaws in terms of, you know, the breakup of the relationship, but then you couldn't really tell if that was him or just him trying to save the relationship. And I actually want to tie this back to your mention of soulmates. So this movie made me kind of redefine what it is, what is a soulmate, and what kind of ticks the boxes of someone becoming a soulmate. So what do you think about, what is it, why is this to you that they are not soulmates?
I think it's just the way they treat each other. Like, yeah, they go back to each other, but they couldn't really figure out their problems together. And then they resorted to, like, I wouldn't say the easy route, but also, like, the easy route of just erasing their memories. I feel like they could have, like, you know, talked it out, like, communicated. But instead, they're just like, yeah, like, I'm so hurt. I'm just gonna erase, like, my memories of him or her and just kind of, like, move on.
My initial reaction is how Kate Winslet even found out about the clinical practice. That was kind of a question that I was thinking about. Like, how did she even find that out? And this is not like a counter argument, but what if they did talk it out and Kate went, like, this was their last solution? And so this kind of led me to think that, do you think that this memory erasing technology was a solution in disguise, or do you think it actually might have been a solution to their problems if there wasn't any, like, altercation with Jim Carrey kind of rejecting it? If this were to go through and this procedure were to be completely successful, would you say that it would have been an appropriate solution to how they kind of operate as humans in the world?
I feel like it wasn't a good solution, not because it was, like, I guess morally also it's just, like, a little questionable, but I don't think it technically worked. I guess, like, what I got from the movie was kind of, like, even if you erase someone, like, you'll always go back to them. That's kind of how I was seeing it, because, like, those two, Joel and Clementine, found each other again. And then the blonde girl and then the, I forget his name, Tony?
Yeah, or Elijah Wood?
Yes. Like,
or you mean Dr. Howard?
Dr. Howard, yeah. And then Mary, I think. They ended up finding each other again, even though she erased her memories. So I was just like, technically, like, even if, like, the memories are erased, it's like the procedure itself doesn't really work, especially since there's a scene where Joel was like, oh, like, meet me at wherever they went on Valentine's Day, right?
Montauk?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And then so he still remembered that, and then they ended up finding each other through that. So I was like, it's not really an effective solution.
Yeah. Like, during the process of technology, do you think, because this is characterized as a romance, it is also a sci-fi, but it seems like it's kind of moving towards more of like a rom-com. But when I looked at it, it was pretty heavy in terms of sci-fi and the technology that was used. Do you think it was a great way to amplify the theme of romance and love and how it's portrayed? Or what did you think about this whole technology of being able to erase someone's memory and possibly, because what I think, because now that I think about it, is I think the technology, it masks itself as a solution for, like, a perfect relationship and what like perfect love is. And so it shouldn't have any flaws. And if it does, it should be erased. And so I think that's kind of, it's almost critiquing that that's not what love is. Love contains pain and suffering. And that's kind of the beauty of it, is that you're giving yourself and you're sacrificing yourself to this concept because that's how much you love someone. And so what did you think about the way that technology was used in the movie and how that kind of connects to romance and love?
I thought it was actually really good. I really enjoyed it because I thought it was so, like, it was such a, like, an idea I wouldn't think of, to, like, erase your memories of someone you loved and, like, going through those memories. I definitely thought, like, the sci-fi and the romance connected. I didn't really see a rom-com, like, the comedy portion. I don't think I laughed at all during the movie. But definitely, I think the technology of it exemplified, like, the romance aspect and kind of like, how you think that you want to erase someone. And then we see Joel being like, no, I don't want to go through this procedure anymore. And, like, how he's kind of trying to, like, protect Clementine in his memories and like run away from like the erasing technology. I thought that was really cool. So yeah.
You know, I really liked how you did mention the solution of why didn't they just talk it out? And then you just mentioned how there was a scene where he wants to go back and not complete the procedure. Why do you think that is? Like, do you think that because, you know, to go through the procedure, he has to go through the memories that he experienced with Clementine. And it seems like most of the memories that he goes through is kind of reminding him why he fell in love with Clementine. And that is kind of why he doesn't want to continue on with the procedure. But what did you think? Why do you think he wanted to go back? Do you think he wanted to go back because he's reminded of how Clementine made him feel and he is willing to keep that in mind and continue on without, you know, having a relationship with Clementine? Or do you think that was kind of because, oh, now I see my flaws, I want to try and give this another shot?
I think it was because when, like, during his breakup, all you think about is, like, the bad portions, I think. And, like, especially with Joel, like, he was mostly thinking about, like, how hurt he was. But then when he got in his memories and he saw, like, the happy side and, like, the parts that made him, like, you know, like, actually, like, oh, in love and, like, why he fell in love, he was like, oh, like, I've been just focusing on the bad when there's also good. And then I think looking through his memories, he saw the good and, like, the good outweighed the bad.
Do you think that has something to say of maybe, I mean, this is kind of like a reiteration, is that sometimes we're blinded by the pain and suffering so much that we end up making, would you say it was a rash decision? Like a very, do you think it was well thought out that to kind of completely erase Joel, like each other's memories?
I think honestly, the reason why he did it was kind of in spite of her. Because he found out that, like, oh, she erased, like, memories.
Like a pride thing, you mean?
Like, not really, but also yes. Because he, like, saw that note where it was like, oh, she erased her memories of him. And then he was just like, oh, like, why would she do that? Like, I can't believe she did that. And then I feel like after he was, like, thinking about all the bad stuff. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it too. Like, kind of like a screw you thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel that as well. I mean, I wonder if this would actually be possible to do. Do you think the world would be a better place if we could get rid of somebody in our mind that's causing us pain and suffering? And if there weren't any errors of, like, I don't even know why Joel got the note of Clementine.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that even happened. But would you say that this technology, hypothetically speaking, if this were real, it would be... it would act as a beneficial factor in human society?
I feel like no. I feel like the whole point of, like, history is, like, learning from our mistakes and, like, old mistakes. So I feel like if we erased our memories of, like, let's say a person making a bad decision, like, we wouldn't know the consequences. Like, let's say, actually, I don't know, but, like, you know, if someone did a bad deed and then we erased them from our minds, and let's say someone else decides to do that bad deed, but then we wouldn't really, like, with the memory in mind, we would know the consequences. But then with those memories erased, we wouldn't know the consequences. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Let's talk about the format, because the format is really, really unique. And it's very non-linear. Do you think personally it would have benefited as a viewer if you had, like, timestamps? Because, you know, like, some movies has, like, 2 years later, 2 years before. Would that would that be something that would help you kind of understand the movie a bit better? Or was, like, this whole confusing nature of the movie and how it flows was, like, the whole point? Like, that's kind of how it should be for the movie and the purpose of it.
I think that was how it should be. Like, I think the timestamps would take away from the movie, in my opinion. I think it was, like, part of the confusion. Like, the confusion was part of, like, the movie itself. And, like, as a viewer, like, yes, I was confused, but then I was, like, starting to think more. I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, and then, like, you see things and you're like, oh, things are clicking now. So I think that's, like, what was really interesting for me. And I think timestamps would have taken away from it.
Do you think that the way that they framed everything was kind of an accurate representation of how memory works for us? This can be from like personal experience on how something triggers something, like an experience can trigger something way back, or anything at all. But the idea of memory and how it works, do you think the film did a great job in how it portrays that?
I think yes and no. Like when he went to, I think she works at the library, right?
Yeah.
When he went there and then he saw her and then she didn't recognize him, I was really confused because I was like, okay, this is like a couple like months or years later because she now has orange hair. And then all of a sudden, like the movie would continue. I was just like, oh, wait, no, this is like in the past. And so I was like getting really confused. I thought that was like accurately portrayed, I guess. What I was really confused about was like when he would like run away from her and like he was like baby Joel.
I was gonna, that was something I wanted to mention with you, is that I don't know why there was a baby Joel, but sorry, continue on.
I was just so confused because he was like I was just like, why are we here? And then like he was like a baby and then he was like a man and then
Clementine. He's a man baby, yeah.
Yeah, and then like Clementine was there. I was just so confused and like they were in the sink. And then
bathing together.
Yeah, like that portion itself, like where they're in the kitchen, I was really confused. When they're with like the bird, like it was like a bunch of kids, yeah. And like he was like, you know,
getting bullied.
Yeah, yeah. Like that part, I understood because Clementine was like, hide me in like a memory where like you're humiliated, yeah. Right? But then I was just confused on like the baby Joel portion. Like I was just like, why are we here?
So the theory that I came up with, because that was definitely a scene that I wanted to mention with you, is that maybe that, I mean, just logistically speaking, maybe that was an error. So the whole process that Joel had to go through, was going through, was not working out the way it was supposed to. So Dr. Howard would have to come in during at night, and he would have to, you know, he would be questioning why is Joel here, and so he, you know, move him here and there, and then Joel would have the power because of his strong will. He would like jump to memories, and so maybe that would have been a malfunction. I don't know why he was there, and it was very weird because Clementine was kind of the like a mommy almost, but then they were also in the sink. Then she disappears, and I think there was a brief moment where we could see Joel's mom. Was Joel's mom there as well?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I that was a really weird, I don't know why they were there, but this is another theory, is they might have just been hiding because the whole procedure was to erase Clementine, and the only time Clementine and Joel were kind of together were when they were adults. And so I'm assuming that Joel has to be present in those memories for him to experience and to actually get rid of. But if he goes into a memory of his childhood, I guess they can't find him.
Yeah.
And so the procedure just wouldn't work out. So they were just like a constant experience, the constant kind of drive to hide. Maybe that was it. But it definitely was. There were some scenes that was very questionable.
I was just like, that scene was so weird.
What did you think about it, though? Were you just confused? Were you just like, why is he a baby but a man?
I was just confused, and I was also just weirded out. I thought it was kind of cool because this movie came out the year I was born, 2005.
Oh, okay.
So, like, in my head, I'm like, wow, this is really old.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then I was like, I guess it was cool how they were able to make him look tiny still, like as a man, but like the kitchen was big. I wonder if it was like CGI or like edited that way, or if it was like the angle, or if they like created like an actual, like,
you know, whenever I see movies like that and you see like the small people or the very like Alice in Wonderland, like in real life, I wonder if they did actually make the set like that. And if they did, I'd love to go and see like
they did it for Wicked. They made entire set of like
I think they might, I think in some amusement parks, either in China or maybe Japan, they do have like this place where you can go and really experience what it's like to like have like a really large table or kind of go through like a scene like that. But that must have been, I think that would be a really cool thing to experience. If it was CGI, that's cool too. But I think if they actually made it, like the whole experience of just making the set is just so
like
interesting.
Seeing it with
your
eyes.
Seeing it. But this movie, you know, although it seems like, you know, Clementine and Joel are the sole protagonists, there's a lot of subplots and secondary characters who seem to play a very big role as well. Let's get into Elijah Wood. Very weird. After I finished the movie, mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was. The first time we ever see him is when he goes up to Joel's car in the beginning and he says, "What are you doing here?" in front of Clementine's house. I think mm-hmm. that's kind of when you first see him. He's the guy who takes Joel's identity. And he's like, he's kind of in a romantic relationship with Clementine, that guy.
Patrick, was it?
Patrick. Yeah. Patrick. And so we kind of first get to see him. And I thought he was just a weirdo. It was the way he came in was already like super confusing. Like, why would he go up to Jim Carrey and say, "What are you doing here?" and just leave?
Yeah.
It was so weird. And then we kind of get to know him a bit more. And the girl that he talks to with Mark Ruffalo during the procedure ends up being Clementine, I think. Like,
oh,
there was
yeah.
a point. Remember when he said like he stole someone's panties?
Oh, or, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was Clementine's.
Yeah.
And so the girl that he's talking to with Mark Ruffalo, it turns out she's Clementine and they're kind of dating. But he's not dating as Patrick. He's dating as Joel because he stole Joel's identity.
I think it was like he was using Joel's, like,
oh, what
Joel and Clementine had and like what Joel would say and like his actions and stuff to make Clementine like Patrick.
Yeah, yes, I remember, because he would use certain lines that Joel would say to her, like, "There's nothing wrong with you." I think there was a scene where he was in the car with Clementine, kind of the same kind of scene, and then he would say the same things, but they wouldn't work with Clementine.
Yeah,
and that's who Clementine is, that she's not like this person who goes through like the same thing. It's like she's very adventurous. And mm-hmm. so Patrick kind of made the mistake of, oh, maybe if I just fix some of Joel's mistakes and just say the right things that she would, but it didn't end up happening. But what did you think about Patrick's character? Like, what is it trying to tell you about how the movie is and like the significance of Patrick?
Dude, I thought he was just so weird.
He was weird.
Like, I was just so like, he's kind of a creep.
No, he is a creep. He's a really weird character.
And I was just like, oh, interesting. And then when I saw him like starting to talk about Clementine, I was just like, what? Because I think there was a scene with him and then Mark Ruffalo where he was like, yeah, I fell in love with her. And I think Mark Ruffalo was like, dude, she was like asleep, or like she was like, she wasn't like conscious. I was just what is going on? I thought his character was just so weird. I was kind of curious to see, like, because I know in the end of the movie, like, he goes up to her in the, like, when she comes back to grab her stuff and she has like the box, and then he's like, oh, like, let me fix this and stuff like that. And she's like get away.
Yeah, he's like really aggressively.
Yeah, but I wonder, like, because I was kind of confused. Do you think Clementine knew that he was a part of it? Because I don't think she knew.
Oh, actually, that's a great question. First of all, I don't even think when that scene occurred, Clementine knew about the procedure at all. But I think because throughout the movie, we can kind of see when Clementine and Patrick kind of go to the ice rink and suddenly Clementine's like, we need to go. And mm-hmm. so in those scenes, I can kind of see that although Clementine went through the procedure, she's still, it's like deja vu.
Yeah.
Like constantly. And so I think that was kind of the breaking moment where it's like, yo, I don't want to see you. Like, I just need to be alone.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what that interaction was about. But it was weird. I mean, what I got from Patrick and Clementine's relationship is that what you think might be like the perfect way to fix a relationship and, you know, assuming that there's like this fixed solution is a flaw. Like, there is no fixed way to kind of save something. It sometimes it just takes time and maybe it just doesn't work out. That's kind of what I got. It was interesting to see Patrick. And also I thought it was very weird because it seemed quite unethical.
Yeah.
And I don't see how he's either incredibly naive, or Patrick, or he's just, I don't even know. Because how can you fall in love with someone if you know, like, the information that you have about, like, Joel's relationship and Clementine and using that to
fall in love with Clementine just seemed really weird to me.
But I don't think he loved her. I think he just liked the way she looked, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, it seems like he's very obsessed with just having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And kind of more in love with the idea of having a partner than it is liking Clementine. Mm-hmm. Because if he truly loved Clementine, he would have gotten to know her more, other than just trying to win her over with saying the right stuff and just kind of being, in the presence of her. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting. Moving on to Stan and Mary. So Stan, Mark Ruffalo, mm-hmm. and then Kirsten Dunst with Mary's character. That was, I think, throughout the movie, we can kind of see that Joel and Clementine are kind of in their own timeline. And then what I got is that Mary, Patrick, and Stan and Dr. Howard were in the present. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of the foundation of what the actual timeline is.
Yeah.
And so when I saw Stan and Mary, they were kind of like the real-time couple. Mm-hmm. And then we see that Mary was actually... she actually went through the procedure herself. So what did you think about that? Did that spark any conversations in your head and discussions or confusion?
That was when I was like really shocked, because I was like, oh my God. Because like at first I was just like, oh yeah, like sure. Like she's just like kissing Dr. Howard, and then the wife sees, and then they both rush out. And then the wife is like, just tell the poor girl. And I was just like, wait, what? Like what's going on? So I was just like really shocked that she herself went through it. And then I thought like, I was kind of confused on like her and Stan. I guess they're both just like drunk and like high.
Yeah. Do you think it was just kind of a summer fling type vibe?
I think it was just meaningless, yeah. Whatever. But man, like that, when she was like, yeah, like I'm a patient too. Like I went through this. I was just like, wow, like I was so shocked.
I actually have a question. So when the wife said that, tell the poor girl kind of what happened, she knew like what Mary went through, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think like she knew about the affair, and I'm assuming maybe she was the one that was like pressuring Dr. Howard to be like, you need to like get her to do the procedure.
You think that she really?
That's what I'm assuming. Or like I don't think Mary herself really wanted to do the procedure. And I think probably Dr. Howard was like, oh, I think it's best if
Yeah.
So I think probably that stemmed from his wife, but I'm not quite too sure.
So what I got is that the wife was kind of on the edge. By the way, this is just all assumptions because none of this is in the film. And I think... that's just kind of the whole point. But what I got was Dr. Howard, he got caught with the affair with Mary, and his wife was kind of on the edge of whether to forgive him or not. And his solution is, okay, for me to have a fresh start, I can't have Mary just have this feeling of love. And if maybe he cared about her and he didn't want her to experience the hurt of, her falling in love with him, and then all of a sudden it's just like all done. And so he suggested, you know what, maybe we should have your memory erased. And then that's kind of how it happened. But what I got was that at the end of the day, Mary still made the move. So yeah. Like despite her erasing the memory of falling in love with Dr. Howard, she somehow ends up back to falling in love with Dr. Howard. And it's like this whole cycle again. And so did this say anything about you on how love works at all?
I thought it was really interesting because I thought she just had like a little crush on Dr. Howard. And then like once we found out that, oh, like she was actually like in a thing with him before, I was just like, oh, like maybe like her mind might not know, but like her body like knows, you know?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, like even if like your brain says you're fine, like your heart says it's not, or something like that.
Isn't there like a song like, my mind's telling me no, but my body.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, there's a song like that.
And so I was just like thinking about that because I was just like, wow, like even if she's like, I don't remember and stuff like that. Oh my God, wait, total segue. Have you watched Shadowhunters?
No. What is that about? Let me search.
It's like a book series made into an adaptation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spoil you, but basically she, in the TV show, she ends up having to erase her memories of like the entire like Shadowhunters universe, but then at like the end of the series she meets Jace again, which is like her love.
Yeah, in the
like the TV show.
Okay.
I don't know about
no,
the
no,
books.
I meant like in like the world that she erased her memory from.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So like, cuz it's like a normal world, like the just human world.
Yeah.
And like the Shadowhunters like live with them. But then she like basically had to get her memories erased of like all of them, including Jace, which is like her love. But then like in the end, she ends up meeting him again. That's what it reminded me of.
But did they fall in love?
I don't know, because it ended just there. Like of them meeting again.
Is there a sequel?
No.
That's it?
Yeah. Because like, I think it, I remember watching the TV show when I was, I think in high school. And then I think it ended a couple years ago.
Okay.
It got canceled, I'm pretty sure, so.
Oh, that's interesting.
But that's how they ended it. So that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when people say like love works in mysterious ways, I guess that kind of works here, because, but I guess it doesn't, I mean, but if you really look at it, Dr. Howard is still Dr. Howard. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of doing the same things that he used to do with Mary. And so I guess the same, I mean, as long as you don't change Mary as a person, falling in love wouldn't have been that weird of a thing, because they're still working together. What I'm confused about is, why did Mary suddenly become really hesitant, not even hesitant, but very, it's not like a negative thing, but the moment she realized that she was one of the patients, mm-hmm. is her wake up to like, this is not a good procedure. Like, this is unethical. And yet she was doing this to, she was helping people do this to like, I mean, while Joe's character was going through it, she was just fooling around in the room. Like, and it was just like almost devaluing like the whole process of like, oh, this is nothing. I can just do whatever I want, mm-hmm. and just like dancing and drinking. And so that just seemed, that was kind of a really big hit to her character and who she is. What did you think about that? Do you think, because at the end, she's the one who's responsible for giving out all the tapes. Mm-hmm. The truth is revealed. And then now we're just left to, you know, we just let it up to Clementine and Joel to do whatever whatever they want to do with their relationship. Mm-hmm. But what did you think about, you know, Mary's choice and, you know, finally waking up to this whole procedure not being ethical when she realized that she was a patient herself?
I think it's that saying, I don't remember. It's like, it doesn't matter until it happens to me. Do you know that saying?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, so that's kind of what it reminded me of, where she felt like uninfected, like she didn't really care until she realized like she herself went through it. That's what it reminded me of. I think for her, or like what I thought was that for her, she was probably really embarrassed, I think, because she was like, wow, like I just kissed a married man for like the second time. And, like, obviously it's, like, Dr. Howard's fault as well, because he's the one that's married.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think for her, she was probably embarrassed. Also because, like, Dr. Howard didn't erase his memories.
Yeah, that was weird,
too. And it was only Mary that had her memories erased. So maybe she thought she felt, like, taken advantage of. Mm. That's what I'm assuming. I think she was also probably just, like, upset in general. Like, I think, you know, anyone in her position would be. But, yeah.
You know what I think is that I completely agree with you on those points, but I think this really puts a lot of emphasis on the value of memory. So mm-hmm. whether it's a painful memory that causes constant suffering, or if it's a lovely memory that gives you a lot of happiness. And so maybe when she realized that she was one of the patients, it's almost like a piece of her was taken away from her, like a piece of who she is was gone. And whether that was good or bad, it just, I guess it felt kind of icky for her. And the fact that she does this to other people is that, you know, we can assume that, you know, erasing, because all the patients that are coming in, they're coming in because they want to get rid of a memory that's giving them pain. Mm-hmm. And so we can immediately say that we're doing good to the people and to the patients. But we kind of realize that those memories on the outside may seem horrible, they still hold a lot of value on who someone is. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a very, although it might be a small portion, but it does define who you are as a person. And so I think that was kind of what it was trying to emphasize on. And so initially, you know, maybe I think that Mary is like, you know, she's bothered because it happened to her. Mm-hmm. And she's okay with everyone else. I think as in a bigger picture, it does tell you the value of memory, whether it's good or bad. And it shouldn't be dealt with as easily as they did in the film. All right, so let's kind of get into the overall. You know what? I want to ask you. So, were there any things in the film that you enjoyed and they did a really great job in? This can be about the plot. This can be about the characters. This can even be about the design, like how the shots were filmed, and how. I remember a scene where Clementine went into the washroom, mm-hmm. and when Joel followed, she was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, immediately just switches the whole environment. It's, like, the same place, mm-hmm. but, like, a different timeline because she's gone. So we don't really know where we are. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, anything at all in terms of enjoyment of the film?
I really liked, like, the... I don't know if it's effects, technically. I guess so. Like, where they're, like, running and things are, like, collapsing around them, yeah. and, like, falling apart. I thought that was just so cool, especially in, like, the end where they're in the beach house and all of a sudden it's, like, filling with, like, sand and then, like, water and, like, it's breaking apart. I thought that was so cool. Like, I loved the visual of it. I also thought that, like, her hair itself was really, like, something I enjoyed with the storyline. Funny thing was, it was, like, I think Patrick would also call her Tangerine.
Okay.
But her hair was blue at that time.
Oh, you know what? That's a great detail you picked up, really?
Yeah. Well, I think so, because I remember, like, Joel used to call her Tangerine because her hair was, like, orange.
Yeah.
And then when we go back to, like, the present, Patrick calls her Tangerine and her hair's blue. And I'm just like...
He got the information wrong.
Yeah, so I was like, he definitely got, like, the information from Joel's, like, memories.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't know if they met ever when her hair was orange, but I don't think so. I think her hair was blue when they met. So that's something I thought was really interesting. I also was just so curious, like, not curious, fascinated by, like, her hair. Because, like, when we go into her first memories, like, her hair is obviously orange. It's, like, at her roots. And then her hair turns blue and it's at her roots. And then slowly, like, her hair grows to show brown. And, like, that's how I kind of figured out, like, the timeline as well with her hair. Because I was like, okay, her hair's, like, grown out. Like, her brown hair color is showing and it's not blue. So that means that time has passed. And then that's when I connected, like, oh, like, when they met at the train station, like, that's, like, the present. And, like, when her hair was, like, you know, freshly blue, it was just like, okay, this is the past.
I was going to ask you, actually, the significance of the hair color, because I didn't pay too much attention to the hair until I kind of rewatched it. Mm. And I'm like, oh, she continues to change it. It's very difficult to find out what timeline we are in. And I was just like, maybe there is a correlation between the hair color and the time. And it's really interesting for me to hear, for you to point that out, is kind of the connection it has. And so I was actually going to ask you about it. Whether, you know, the hair color has anything to do with helping the audience, like, subtextually of where we are. And so, yeah, those details are always really, really fun to find out. But I end up never really finding a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my
eye
detail.
I, like, started noticing, like, maybe, like, halfway through. Because I was like, okay, wait, her hair is orange. So when we first saw her orange hair, I was like, okay, now we're in, like, the future present. Because I thought, like, when she had blue hair, that was, like, the past. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, oh, my God, wait.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. I just kind of assumed that it was just more of her character. It reflects her personality of being very simultaneous. Not simultaneous. What was the word? It's spontaneous.
Yeah.
Spontaneous and, like I said, adventurous. And so the hair color kind of represents who she is and the constant change. And the constant change that I guess she needs in a person. Because Joel I honestly don't know why Clementine fell for Joel, because there's a scene, this is very biased of me, but there's a scene in the beginning where he's in the sofa and he says himself that his life is not interesting at all. Mm-hmm. He lives a very cyclical life where, you know, nothing changes. There's no exciting things, or at least he believes that there's no exciting things. So there's no, you know, I don't know where, at what point Clementine was intrigued. Maybe I assume that she was, although she's a very spontaneous and adventurous person, she secretly wants that stable kind of environment of just, you know, having a, you know, having a routine. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting to see kind of how they kind of hold their distinct characteristics with each other. All right. So to end off, anything that you would have liked to see more in the film, or have something that you wish was just unpacked in a more detailed manner?
I don't know, honestly. I didn't love the film, but I didn't like hate it either. It was just kind of like, you know, if there's like a range of like 1 to 10, it's just like 5, 6 for me.
Did you have any trouble finishing the film, or was it just enough for you to actually watch it through?
No, there were times where I was like, let me go on my phone.
Okay. Take a break.
Because I was just like it's, I was just like, oh, it's whatever. I thought it was really cool. A part I thought was really cool was when he like tried to like move Patrick to see his face.
Oh.
Did you see that part where it was like they're in the library and then I think Patrick was talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like he tries to like turn his shoulder, but like Patrick would always turn so like you can see his face. I thought like stuff like that was really cool. I don't know. I think the movie itself was well thought out and it was well planned. But some of the scenes where it was like Marianne, what was his character, Stan? Like, that's when I was, like, a little bit confused. It was just like, oh, whatever. And then I actually was initially confused on how, like, Joel passed out. And then they, like, show up in his apartment. So at first, I was like, what is happening, right? A lot of confusion, but I think it, like, adds on to the story. I really did not like when Joel was, like, going through his memories. And, like, all of a sudden, the faces were, like, just, like, blank.
Yeah.
Like, no features. I thought it was like out of a horror movie. I was like, I did not enjoy it.
That was a bit creepy. I wonder why that was. Maybe I assumed that those blank faces were kind of just like fictional people, like people in his life. And then it was just like all merged together. And so they were just kind of nobodies.
I like interpreted it as, because like I know Dr. Howard's face was also like blanked, right?
Now I remember what scene you're talking about. And he goes to the doctor.
Yeah. I think it's because, like, they now need to erase him even going to, like, the doctors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, then he wouldn't know that he erased his memories. So I thought that's, like, the reason. But I was still, like, and then I was just so confused, but also creeped out. Because I was creeped out by when Patrick came into, like, the library for, like, the first time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, isn't that in the past? So why is Patrick there?
Yeah, I remember that scene. I don't know why.
Because, like, we can hear him on, like, the outside. But what I saw, I thought he was talking to Clementine.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But I don't know.
It was just odd.
The timeline was very weird. That's actually something that I would want some more clarity on.
Yeah.
But I think that just goes to show how mysterious your memory can work.
Mm-hmm.
I actually believe that your mind is actually like that. Like, the movie itself, like, the way it is literally what it's like to see what's going on in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just kind of trained to choose whatever we need when we're functioning.
I think what's also interesting was where technically, like, Clementine in Joel's memory is how Joel envisions her. Right?
Wow, that's a really interesting...
Because technically, like, when they're running away and stuff, like... Clementine isn't actually there.
Yeah.
That's like what Joel made up of Clementine and how she would act in that scenario, technically.
For me, it wasn't Clementine fully. Mm-hmm. It was just a part of Clementine that he remembers.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do agree with you. I think, I don't know, maybe Joel had some sort of power to kind of choose what memories that he had with Clementine, and that's kind of, and it just happened to be all just happy, great memories of her. But it was very confusing, because whenever Joel would run around and try to get Clementine to, you know, snap out of it, It didn't seem like she was like fully Clementine. It seemed kind of she was off. But yeah, I mean, overall, 5 out of 10.
like 6, 7. Like, I didn't hate it, but like, it's not like something I would like be like, oh wow, I need to rewatch that.
I mean, to be fair, it was for me too. I don't think I really loved the movie, but it wasn't bad. I think it was a good movie to kind of talk about memory, love, and kind of a way to kind of reflect on what soulmate is. But yeah, thank you again for discussing this. For the next couple minutes, we've done the Would You Rather, right?
Yes, okay. We have.
Well, we're back at it again.
Okay, great.
And so I have a couple Would You Rathers, and we'll end off today's episode like so. If you guys are interested in watching Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Oh, actually, one last question. Mm-hmm. What do you think that the title means, in your opinion? Because it was a very confusing title for me. Like, Eternal Sunshine, mm-hmm. okay, and then of the Spotless Mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to connect it together, and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this alone. And so I was just, you know, researching it. But did you have any initial impressions of the title itself?
I saw it as like eternal happiness of like a memoryless mind. Mm. So like the procedure itself kind of was like, if you remove this person from your memory, then like the pain you have from them like is gone. So then you're happy. So then like my interpretation was like eternal sunshine is like the happiness you'll get once those memories of them are erased. Because like spotless mind is like,
like a blank erase, sheet. Yeah.
So that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually almost the same as what I've researched and what I think as well is. But I also feel like that's that whole thing of just having a blank sheet of paper and erasing everything will ultimately lead to happiness is kind of the illusion mm-hmm. that the whole movie is trying to critique.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was a really interesting title, but definitely a confusing one at first. But yeah, let's get through some of the would you rathers. You know the drill. I give you the options and give me the fast reply.
Okay.
All right. So this one's actually about time. So would you rather have the ability to pause time, but only while dramatically reciting a monologue from a soap opera, or teleport instantly, but only to places you mispronounce on the first try?
Teleport instantly.
Oh, you aren't at all nervous to go to a country that you have no knowledge on?
No, because can't I just like teleport instantly? Oh, you want to teleport?
Okay.
If I'm like, oh, this is not the vibes, like, let me just...
search up a country I can't pronounce. Okay. The next one is, would you rather wake up every day with a completely random new accent?
Mm-hmm.
It could also be alien.
Okay.
Or have your reflection insult you in increasingly creative ways whenever you look in a mirror?
Honestly, maybe the insulting.
Interesting.
Do you remember that time when, do you remember like fairy comments in like 2021?
No, what is a fairy comment?
Oh my gosh, wait, so they're like really nice comments, but like kind of funny. I used to have them all on my phone. Here, I'll read one out to you.
What is a fairy comment? It's like people, like anonymous comments?
Like, no, so like it's like adding like the fairy emoji with like stars and flowers. Like one of them is like, sometimes you have to shoot for the stars. This isn't one of those times. And it's covered with like emojis of like hearts, sparkles, and like fairies to make it seem like positive.
Yeah.
But like,
but they're actually like kind insults, of like, yeah. Like a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, that's actually kind of, show me some more after this. But the next one I have is, would you rather have a third arm that only high fives people uncomfortably hard, or legs that moonwalk automatically whenever you lie, even by omission?
Oh, I would have the third arm.
That high fives people uncomfortably hard. Do you think that can act as an icebreaker?
Maybe, yeah.
It's like a really hard high five.
Like,
the way to
wow,
go.
good.
Like, yeah. It's like, ooh, that's actually
good arm.
Yeah. All right, the last one I have for you is, would you rather be able to communicate only via interpretive dance at job interviews, or have to wear a medieval knight's armor anytime you feel even slightly emotionally vulnerable?
Oh, God. I would do the interview one. I think wearing armor would be so uncomfortable. It's, like, squeaky, and, like, moving in it would be so difficult. God, I could not.
So, you don't want to do the knights in armor?
No, I do the interview one.
Yeah. So, do you like to dance?
I used to do contemporary dance in high school.
Okay. So, I guess you'll go with that genre. But, okay. Yeah, that's it for today's episode. Thank you again, Celine, for coming on.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys had a wonderful time listening to today's discussion. Next week, we'll be back with another movie review, so please stay tuned for that. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody, and I'll see you guys next week. Please stay safe and have fun. Bye-bye, everyone.